I contacted all the Jewish day schools across the country, and I said, we need for them to really get a lesson and understand what's going on around them in their world without scaring them.
We have a long fight ahead of us.
Here I am.
Here I am.
Here I am.
And here I am with Shai Davidai.
My guest today is a sort of activist entrepreneur, started a WhatsApp-based movement that mobilizes letter-writing campaigns against anti-Semitism and hatred of many kinds. Here I am with Faye.
Yes. Hi. And supporting Israel.
And not supporting just Israel. Yes. We'll get to talk about everything that you do. And it really is an inspiring movement or tool, not just because of what you do, but because of who you are. So let's get to know you first.
Okay.
Faye.
Yes.
What kind of a Jew are you?
I am a tiny Jew. I'm proud. I'm a mom. I'm a grandma. I love being Jewish. I love Israel. I'm not an afraid Jew. Walk around with my Tzfat Jewish star, and I get a lot of smiles. I haven't gotten any hate yet, even in Manhattan. Just very, I have so much pride. I actually went to the Omer Adam concert the other night, and it was like very healing for me to be in a room with 20,000 Jews, like to just see everybody know the same songs and unite. It was beautiful. So I am as Jewish as they come.
As Jewish. And for people that are listening in and not watching, you said you're tiny.
Yes.
May I ask how tiny?
I'm not even 5 feet.
Not even 5 feet. But yet you wear a Star of David that's probably the biggest one I've seen in person.
Yeah. I got it in Tzfat last year. Yeah. It's meaningful.
So you mentioned, it's interesting that you immediately went to the healing experience of being in a room, an arena with 20,000 Jews. Mm-hmm. What are you healing?
Like everybody, the hostage situation was devastating. I don't know if I took it harder than most people, but I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't functioning until they were home last week.
The living hostages.
The living hostages. They are the motivation for everything I've been doing. The number one motivation. I have a couple. But I really got to know them. I know each of them by name. I know their families. I never met any of them, but I'm just saying I really went to school on them and I wanted to know who they were. And I prayed and I begged and I just did whatever it took to bring them home. And I believe that we all had a part in what went on and how they got home. So being in a room with 20,000 Jewish people, when Omer put up videos of them being reunited, and then it was just like, and the place erupted, it exploded. It was just an unbelievable feeling. And I felt like for me, it was definitely the first step to healing. I haven't even had a moment to process the people that were killed on October 7th because I went straight to work for these hostages. I really have to take time to do that at some point when things slow down. Please God, they will. But I haven't even really given much thought to that. I can't go there to that horrible atrocity that went on that day.
So we'll get to talk a lot about your reaction to the October 7 massacre and what you started after. But tell me about yourself, your life before October 7, 2023. If I were to ask you what kind of a Jew you are, what kind of a person you are, what do you do?
Okay, well, I'm again, like always been a proud Jew, proud Zionist. I try to get to Israel as often as I can. My children go there for school after high school. I am a big mouth. I do write a lot of letters on my own. I always did to support Israel. I was so naive about anti-Semitism. I don't remember ever writing a letter about anti-Semitism before this. Like, I thought that we were just appreciated because we contribute so much to society. It was a big eye opener.
What did you use to write letters about?
Well, if somebody was like, if there was a news article about that was like spewing anti-Israel rhetoric, I would write a letter and correct them and send them links and like things like to prove that, you know, Israel's not doing the things that they're saying. I used to, as a kid, I would write silly letters. Like if my pack of gum from Wrigley's didn't have all that same amount of pieces, slices in it, then I would write them a letter and I used to get coupons for free stuff. I didn't do for the coupons, but that was fun. I've always been like when the Jewish people were coming out of Ethiopia. Like, I worked for UJA during the time raising money for them to be airlifted out. I went to rallies. I went to Kahana's funeral. I'm not saying I'm a Kahana Jew. I might be. I don't know. I was a kid at the time. I don't even know what I thought. But I went to his funeral. Like, I just always felt so much love and pride for being Jewish. I think we are just such joyful, light, contributing people. And we, surprisingly, like after October 7th, I'm shocked how many people are against us.
So that partially led to Pens for Swords.
Yes.
What is Pens for Swords?
Okay, so, well, to take a step back a minute, it started for me, I just started writing letters because people were ripping down hostage posters. And I was like, you're not touching our hostages. So I would go to town on the person. I would find out where they worked, where they lived, where they banked, who their landlord was. I would really try to get them in trouble and get them fired. And a couple of times I've gotten people fired. And then I used to post them on Instagram, my letters, and people were like, oh, I want to sign it also. And I found a tech person to help me make links. And then more and more people were following me. And I ended up moving over to WhatsApp because it was so many people just wanted to do something. Like, everybody was like, what are we doing? What are we doing? You know? And I ended up, a lot of people started following, and I realized that this is bigger than me. And I put calls out to recruit researchers, editors, writers, attorneys, teachers, and stay-at-home moms, whoever has a voice as a good writer, people who could just hunt down email addresses for us. We call them, that part of our group, email Mossad. They really are. And it grew and grew, and people were sharing the link, and now we're up to over 33,000 just in the Pens for Swords groups. We have partner groups.
33,000.
Members for the WhatsApp chats. And there's also, we work with other groups like Lions for Zion and Jew Hatred and Israel Action. Oh, God, I'm forgetting the name. Anyway, but we basically send out the letters every morning and everybody fans them out. So we have a reach of about 60,000 members now. And I'm just me. I represent a team of people. It's a small team. It's actually almost all women, which is kind of cool. And we just tackle anything that's related to supporting Israel, anything that fights anti-Semitism. Our letters are expert. There are no emotions. It's all fact-based. We send to governments, businesses, organizations, foreign governments, whoever needs to hear our voice collectively. I will stop for a minute and just tell you, every single morning we dedicate to a hostage. So beforehand, it was only for the living hostages because of the urgency of getting them out. And I would wake up super early in the morning because I wouldn't want to prepare it before because I'm so superstitious that, like, what's happening overnight, maybe they'll be found. Or I was so, and I was so obsessed with it and what they were experiencing and how I have to get them out, I have to get them out. It was just like pure pain. Like, last week I felt like 1,000 pounds came off of my chest. Like, just so much weight was lifted. So every morning I choose a hostage to dedicate, and we hope that in merit of our unity and our work together in these groups, that person will be shown mercy or be rescued or come out, whatever it is, you know, something, maybe get a little water. Who knows how God would look at us spiritually and see, like, okay, these people are really working together. Let me help this guy in their name. So the groups are really for all walks of life of Jewish people. And quite a few non-Jewish people.
But so what is the goal of Pens for Swords? So for people to understand, there's 33,000 people in these WhatsApp groups sending out letters to public officials, to universities, to corporations, to media figures. But what is the end goal?
The end goal is to support Israel, not allow the misinformation, the ugly lies, the discrimination, the libel against Israel. We will not stand for it. It's what all these lies that are out there, we're not going to let that just be sent out to the world. And we won't allow it to be our students, American students or any students, to be indoctrinated by this sinister plan that is going on to demonize Israel. The second thing is we're going to squash anti-Semitism. Jews deserve the same protections as any other group. We would not allow people to say things about certain communities that are being said about Jewish people freely everywhere. And that our goal is to just stop it. and really end Jew hatred, even though I'm not with them. That's what we're doing.
So walk me through the process. So from the moment there's a problem, deciding of who sends the letter writing, the researching, all the way to people, the 33,000 right. people pressing yes. click, adding their own signature. So what is the process of the letter campaign?
So before I get to the process, I just want to talk a little bit about the team of people that we have. We're all volunteers. It's people who have given up their life for the past 2 years. We all of us have hand problems, neck problems, back problems. From my phone is with me 24/7, as a lot of these of our team members are. So it just I'm speaking on their behalf because it's their work, their accomplishments. They're so brilliant. I'm so floored. I barely write any letters now because like they're much better than I am. So the process is we have a group. We all follow the same social media accounts. We follow the news. Anything. Sometimes people send us things also, like little things in the communities that we wouldn't know about otherwise. Like, you know, it could be as small as somebody wearing keffiyeh in Walmart, in a local Walmart. To somebody that might seem small, but to us it's like, no.
You mean an employee?
An employee, sorry.
Not just a general
person. No, yeah. General person, like, it's free country. I might give them a dirty look, though. But there are no small issues. We are very firm about really addressing almost everything. Because even if a letter gets 2,000 emails versus a letter that gets 100,000, that's still 2,000 emails in someone's inbox. They're going to take notice. So we do try to cover everything and help everybody. The group also, this is important to say, is an outlet for people to do something. I get messages every single day thanking us, thanking our team for giving them a voice, giving them something to do. People feel so helpless, so defeated, so depressed. The world seems so dark, and they feel like, okay, there's something I could do. And we do share with them wins that they had a hand in. So people get to really see how effective this kind of advocacy is. In terms of the process, so an issue comes up, we'll pop it in the group, you know. Hey, guys, did you see what Shai posted today? Let's get a letter on it. We have done that. I know you've been in touch with Andrew Hatred about that we partner with. So how do we tackle this? Who's the best on our team to tackle it? Was this information verified? Can it be backed up with references? Then we'll decide if we take it on. Somebody says, okay, I got this one. You know, they'll take that letter. We decide who should be receiving it, who's the best people. We get it out to the press. We get it out to Christians United for Israel because they're incredibly helpful, and blast it out to the masses and hope people sign it.
So you mentioned a lot of different stops,
yes.
you know, in this process. So it comes from someone just noticing a problem.
Yes.
Someone posted something or in the news. How do you decide if something is worthy of a letter or let's wait on this thing?
So a lot of times people will send me issues that are going on in their local towns, and I'll always say, before we get the hands on them, please try to call the supervisor. Please try to call somebody who works there, the owner of the store, the business, the school, whatever it is, because we want to give them the opportunity to do the right thing before we send people after them. So we don't just like pounce on them with thousands of letters. It's always well thought out, and we decide what to do. If somebody's a repeat offender, like a university, like Columbia, we just bypass Columbia and we'll just go straight to the top and we'll send it to government officials, people from, you know, Department of Education, Committee of Anti-Semitism, Leo, he's our boy. He's amazing. Terrell, you know, it depends on like what the situation is. There are certain situations we're not going to touch. If somebody's wearing, on a flight, as much as we don't like it, if they have like a little map of Palestine on their pin or a Palestine flag, we won't touch it because it's not enough of to go after so many people to go after.
Yeah, and at some point, you know, you don't want to be the person that cries wolf.
Right.
And you want your letters to be taken with the seriousness that you're putting them out
yes,
there.
Yes, yes. We all have to agree on sending a letter. Usually, if it's hitting our group, it's because one of us thinks it's important and valuable, and then we end up all thinking that, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll say, you know, let's not touch this, or, you know, let's wait and see if the police handle this, and sometimes they do. Like, let's not pounce on it. Let's take a minute. Let's not panic. And sometimes we never have to send a letter because whoever is in charge in that situation does the right thing.
So you've decided on sending a letter, and then you said the next step is someone writing the letter.
Right.
So who are these people writing the letters? What qualifies them as letter writers?
This is what's so inspiring about this group. We're not like anybody who knew about this before October 7th. I own my own business. I own a makeup store. We have teachers. We have somebody who is a principal, somebody who is a psychologist. We do have attorneys, but not one person in our group was a professional advocate besides one person from NJU Hatred. We all just were learning on the job. It's just people who really feel like there's injustice in the world against Jewish people, and we have a voice. And I do feel strongly, we all feel strongly, that the soldiers are giving up so much in Israel to fight on behalf of all Jews across the world. They sacrifice their physical beings, their comforts, everything, their families, their lives. Every single Jewish person should use whatever talent they have to stand up and fight for Israel and for the Jewish people. It could be that you're just really, you love to pray, or you love to say Tehillim, or you organize challah bakes, or you could go to rallies, you could show up places. Like, every single human being has something that they can contribute, and it's their obligation and their duty to do so.
Right. And so some people use their skills, like their verbal skills, in writing the letters.
Yeah.
But then you mentioned something very interesting. You said something about having enough references and verifying.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a lot of people that would be almost surprising, right? In our day and age where people, whatever makes you angry, you just go online and you blast someone about making you angry and this is wrong. But you take the time to verify and find references and links and back up your claims.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Like, why did you decide to go that way rather than the quick and dirty, let's just scream and shout?
Well, our goal is to kill them with facts, like irrefutable facts that they can't deny. So if you come after us and you say, you know, if there's a magazine doing a whole article about Israel committing a genocide, no, they're not committing a genocide, and here's why. Okay? Apartheid, colonialism, imperialism. We have a whole system about just the kafiyah, how devastating that is for Jewish people to see, and how triggering, and why that should not be allowed in corporations and schools and organizations. There's so many, you know, we do go to a lot of like professionals, like John Spencer is our go-to. I love him. He's actually in our groups. He's another hero. He's a modern urban warfare
expert.
Analyst, yeah. And he does his 21, you know, points. If you ever have time, you should Google it. He has unbelievable information about the lies that are told about Israel. He's not Jewish. He has no skin in the game, but we use him a lot as a reference. But you know, for instance, the famine and them showing all these children that were emaciated. So every single child, 100% of the children that were shown have congenital diseases, and that leads to emaciation or looking like they're emaciated. We sent that out to all media outlets, hundreds and hundreds across the world, to take that down. There's so much information out there, but there's so much baloney out there that people are just pouncing on. So we just like pounce back and we kill them with the facts. And by the way, it's not just writers and researchers. We have, again, it's a small team of 20-something people, mostly women, but there's some people who just want to help. They just want to do something. They feel it. And they'll just hunt for emails all day long. Like, hey, I need this email, this email, this email. Here you go. Here it is.
You mean an email address of someone?
It's hard to find information about people. You have to really be a detective. There's people who just make links for us. You know, I have a 19-year-old girl who's in school full time. She doesn't have time in her life to do anything. She's making links for us because she feels it's her duty to do something for the Jewish people during this dark time.
And how many emails do you send a day? How many letters in the campaign?
So usually between 10 to 12. Now it's slowed down a little bit because of the hostages being home and there's a ceasefire. So there's less protests that we have to like write about. And it's a little bit less. I do feel like I could breathe a little bit. Not really, but you know.
So 10 emails a day for more than 700 days.
Yeah, except for Shabbat.
Except for Shabbat, obviously. So that's, we're talking about 7,000 letters?
We have sent collectively probably close to 3 million emails out. Like not, like I'm saying of all the people sending, like probably over 3 million emails went out. So and we've been written up in various press. One of our, many of our letters have been in the press. Some of our actual verbiage has been used in congressional hearings at, you know, against schools and universities.
So that's interesting because you take the power of 20 volunteers and then you amplify it to reach 3 million emails sent.
Yeah.
So how do you get to that point? From the moment you wrote the letter, you verified, you did everything, to the moment that it's sent out en masse?
There's a lot of conversation and strategy on each letter. We tear that letter apart to make sure everything is perfect, nothing's left out. Hey, you forgot this. Oh, what about this? You should probably put this in. There's a lot of like collaboration on every single letter. We also thank a lot of people. That's important to show hakarat hatov, to show gratitude to people who have helped the Jewish people during this time. So, you know, those are my favorite to send out because they're just happy ones. And I feel like there's so much darkness out there. There's so much darkness. But I will tell you from my position of where I am, of what I'm doing and fanning it out to all the people and the people who are trusting us with this great job that came across our lap. I'm so full of light. I see the light so clearly from the Jewish people coming together and fighting together with truth and with honesty. And, you know, it's just, I'm very grateful. I don't get depressed about any of this stuff, which you would be shocked about because I'm dealing with it 24/7. Every waking hour of my life is spent on this right now, you know? So it's just like, I'm so lucky to see this unity that we've all built together, including all the people, the members of the groups.
So how do we get, so how do you get so many people to sign up to be members? So let me maybe backtrack a second and say, what do the members do, the 33,000 people?
Well, most important is they sign.
But walk me through the process. They wake up in the morning, they see a message on a WhatsApp group.
Yes, some people sign it throughout the day as they come in. Some people will like bang it out all at night, all in the morning, or like a lot of people tell me they wake up, it's before they do anything else in the day. They get their coffee and they sit down and they do their homework.
Which is reading the letters and then sending them?
Yeah. Some people don't even read them. They trust us at this point. I would prefer people read them because, first of all, they're brilliant. I'm very proud of our writers. They're just incredible. But also because it's very important for us to really understand what's going on around us right now. Our eyes must be open and we can never go back to being like those naive people. So I would prefer that they read them. And so they click on the link. Everything's populated for them. It opens up in their email. They have all the email addresses, the subject, the body of the email, and it goes, they could just send it right out. We make it easy for them. And that was important for me to give people a tool to advocate because they may not know how, or they may not be a good writer, you know? Many of our letters come from our members. You know, they'll send me a thing. Hey, this happened. I'm like, hey, could you write about it? And they'll send me a letter about it. We don't use ChatGPT. Everything has to be written by a human. And how do we grow? People send out the links to their family and friends, people that they trust. We never post it anywhere on social media. I wish you could because you have such a platform, but we want to stay secure. So it's always word of mouth. Hey, here's a great group. Here's something you could do. And people are so appreciative. It's just, I get stopped everywhere in my community. If they know that I'm doing it, you know, a lot of people don't know who I am. People thank the team. Like, I'm constantly getting messages, please share this with your team. We're so appreciative that we have something to do. You're giving us a tool to fight. And otherwise we would just feel like we would lose our mind. It's so depressing what's happening. It's such a difficult time for Jewish people.
It's interesting that people, on the one hand, feel the need to do stuff, but on the other hand, are waiting for someone like you to come and give them the tools to do it. Why do you think that is? Why aren't there 33,000 fays?
Oh, I'm so tired. I wish there were more of me. I think I'm a little crazy. I'm going to be honest. I'm crazy. I'm a fast worker. I'm very organized. That's it. I don't have many skills and I'm really using it. But people, I'm in awe of people that, you know, that organize rallies. Like, I don't have time to go to the city for a rally. I'm so grateful to people who go to rallies. I'm so grateful for people who have made the hostages their whole existence. There's a woman, I think her name is Vivica. Do you know?
Vivace.
Oh, she made her whole life about the hostages fighting. I'm in awe of this person. Like, there's so many people that are taking what God gave them and doing. And some people don't have the skills of writing. Some people don't have the skills of you know, being out there, or they're not an extrovert like I am. I'm happy to be that. I'm honored to be that person who is putting it out there for you. Mm-hmm. I'm honored to be working with people who are so smart, so strategic, so committed, so passionate. One of our writers, our top writers, she spoke at a congressional meeting recently about CARE. You know, we do a lot of exposing of these groups, these organizations that are...
CARE is C-A-I-R.
Yes, yes.
The Council of American...
Don't ask me.
Actually, now... I'm blanking out on the...
Well, Google it. There's so many
organizations. Google CARE, because you need to learn about
yes,
that.
Yes, CARE is a scary group. Muslims, the Muslim Brotherhood, AMP, Students for Justice for Palestine. We do a tremendous lot of work on that, and I'm very proud of the people behind the scenes. They're really like heroes, real true heroes. I'm in awe of them every single day.
And you mentioned there are multiple groups. WhatsApp groups. So
yes.
What are these multiple groups, and why do you have not just one group?
So after October 7th, a lot of people just mobilized and did what they could. We didn't even know about each other. I started my own thing, and there's a woman, I don't think she wants me to say her name, but she started Lions for Zion. I didn't even know her. And then there was Michelle, who was working on End Jew Hatred, and there's a woman named Halit. She was... Oh, God, maybe take that out. I don't know if she wants me to say her name. She was working on a group, and somehow people connected us. People said, hey, you should hook up with this person. You should hook up with this person. And we did. We all came together, and we each amplify all these letters.
Which is very interesting, right? And again, I want to touch on something that you mentioned twice before, and now when you mentioned the people, it really strikes a chord. Why is it mostly women?
I think women have more free time, even though none of us have free time. Most of us are working. You know what? I can't answer that. I don't know. We do have a wonderful man who is a retired lawyer who writes most of our letters that we're writing to the president. I'm very careful what I send to the president, because we have to be so careful how we speak to him, what we're communicating, what information. That's like our most super careful. So he's the only one we allow to write to the president. And he's fantastic. I can't answer that. I don't know. But we have like a sisterhood going. You know, we all met one night in the city. Some of our writers are from California, from all across the country. Everybody flew in, almost everybody flew in, and we met in the city. We were in tears. It was so emotional. We've just been through so much together. You know, we've formed this bond that I think will last for a lifetime.
And these are people you did not know before October 7.
Not one. And we always say, like, we're so different. Everybody, you know, there's religious people, not religious people, completely secular Jews in these groups. Just the only thing we have in common is that we're proud Jews and we're Zionists. That's it.
You know? So what have been some of your successes?
Oh, we've had some big ones. Well, personally, I actually wrote this letter after the Super Bowl, when Kanye West's commercial was on Fox, and he had, I don't even remember what he had, like some t-shirt that went out that was crazy. I don't remember.
It was swastika.
Yeah. So I have a terrible memory. This is making it worse, because my brain is moving so quickly all the time. I'm retaining nothing. So 100,000 people sent that email out to Fox, the NFL, to Shopify that hosted the sale of that t-shirt. And we got responses quickly from all the organizations, and it was like so satisfying to get that. We got a phone call from someone in the mayor's office once, saying, can you take down, there was a staffer who was pulling down hostage posters. So of course we went to town on that one. You can't touch our hostages. And we got a phone call, please take down the email, we're firing her. We got you. Please stop, you're clogging our email box. Mm-hmm. We've every Friday before Shabbat, we post our wins for the week, it's so gratifying. It's so amazing to see, like, we're really making a difference in schools, in the Pope. Okay, this is a great one. The Pope had a nativity scene on Christmas, maybe two Christmases ago, with a keffiyeh on one
baby
of the
Jesus.
Was it baby Jesus? Okay, see how my memory is shot. We wrote him, thousands and thousands of people sent the email, and he took it down. And it was just like, wow, like we have a voice. And we're doing it in such a way that we are not disrupting life for regular Americans. We're not banging on drums outside of a children's cancer ward. We're not violent. We don't have smoke and drums and noise and blocking highways. We're doing it with our brains, with our unity, with our light, with our communication skills. And, you know, I say with God, because I really see God's help in all of this. I really do. I think he actually chose me to do this because of whatever craziness I have going on. He chose our writers for their craziness that they have going on and their brilliance. And I'm so grateful to God for everything that he's given us. I've become more grateful as time goes on.
But what does it tell about our society that a musician, a multimillionaire, puts out a T-shirt with a swastika on it, and there's a commercial during the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. the most watched TV, televised episode of the year, and not one of the companies involved, from Shopify, from Fox, from all the others, do anything about it until regular people write an email.
Right.
Like, what does it tell? Like, why are you needed? Why are we needed?
Okay. First, I just want to say about Fox. I think Fox has been such a friend to Israel that I'm so grateful for everything that they have. They've actually been one of the few media outlets that we rarely have to write to, if ever. That might have been the only thing we've ever written to them.
Well, we have to remember, everyone has gone good or bad. You know, they also elevated Tucker Carlson, who is one of the most anti-Semitic people with a platform.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I'm personally very grateful to Fox. Okay, anyway. Sorry, what did you ask me?
So what is it?
What does it say about society? Oh God, I'm so shocked by the anti-Semitism. I'm so shocked how many people care about Israel. Israel is so teensy tiny. It doesn't even make sense. Israel is the only friend in the Middle East where people could live in freedom, of all freedoms. You could be proudly gay in Israel. You could be a woman and show your hair. You could be out of the house. You don't have to have a man drive you somewhere. It doesn't make sense to me how many people are against Israel. To me, it's like biblical. Like I can't understand it. It's too big. What does it say about society? It's not, I think there was a lot of indoctrination that went on that we didn't even know about in these schools. I remember somebody, his name is Mark from One Israel Fund, which is an organization that I personally love. Years ago, he was like, watch the schools. Faye, watch the schools. Nobody's watching the schools. And I was like, leave me alone. It's not, no anti-Semitism, you're ridiculous. I actually think I said that to him. And I'm like, and I called him after this all happened. I'm like, why didn't we listen to you? So much went on in the schools that the 20-year-olds have been listening to year after year after year, that they're happy to go to these encampments, happy to demonize Jews, happy to say that Israel is garbage. It's mind-blowing. The indoctrination that was allowed in this society it's scary. If you look at history, it's really the story of us. I don't get it. I don't understand why God does it this way. My job is to do everything within my power to fight it, and then he does what he wants to do anyway, mm-hmm. you know?
So, and you have mentioned that your job is, let's say your day-to-day job, mm-hmm. Is you own a makeup store.
Yeah.
You woke up one day and you decided, I'm starting this new thing,
I didn't wake up. It just kind of morphed.
Morphed from your own work.
I was like, oh, I'm going to work and then I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to go home and write a letter and then I'm going to write another letter. And then like more and more people and people and people and people. And like it grew and grew. And I have a business partner, thank God, who's very understanding. She's also a huge Zionist. I have staff members who are not Jewish, but they are Zionists. They're very supportive. They took up the slack. I'm not doing a great job at my store, to be honest. One day I will. I'll go, you know, I'm there every day, but I'm very focused on this. I actually had hostage posters all over my windows, and last week I was able to take them down. That was very emotional for me and for my partner and for our staff members. I was like just a regular person before this. I went to work. I have kids. I have grandkids. I get manicures. I read books. I haven't done any of that since October 7th. I haven't met a friend at all, really. My friends are like on hold and they know it, you know? My life is completely on hold. The only time I ever really drop my phone completely is if I'm with my grandkids. That's it, because they're so cute. But every relationship of mine is on the side right now, and they know that.
And you make it sound like, you know, a lot of people would listen in or watch and say, that doesn't sound like something I want to get myself into. You know, right. like you've paid a price, you know, it's,
so have our soldiers.
A lot of people, but many would say if I had the choice, I wouldn't do what Faye does.
Oh, I know.
So, but yet you'd seem very satisfied.
By what I always tell my children, live your life so your kids have what to say about you at your funeral. I want to live...
Good things that they have to say about you. Because they can say bad things.
No bad things. I want to live a life that is meaningful. I'm pretty shallow. Also, like, I like, you know, nice shoes and bags and trips. I love to vacation. But at the end of my days, hopefully at 120, I want my children to say, my mother did everything she could for Israel and the Jewish people. That's what I want. What I'm doing is not extraordinary. It's just very busy. Right? Anybody could do it. I'm actually not that smart. I mean, I didn't do that well in school. I'm an ordinary person, and I hope it inspires every single person to take whatever talent they have. They don't have to do it to the degree that I am doing it. But, you know, if you love what we're doing, sign every letter, send it to your kids to send out. Send our link to your old college buddies. Help us grow. And that's really why we're so effective right now, because people felt that and they did that. Not everybody has to do 24/7, but everybody has to do something.
But what advice would you give to someone who comes to you and says, Faye, I want to do more. I have an idea. I want to create this new thing just like you did, morph my activism into something bigger. What advice would you give them?
Just do it. Start. Step one. Step two will come. Step three will come. Step four will come. I never in a million years thought that I would be doing this at October 8th. No way. That I'd be leading these groups and with these, you know, with my team that we have, I never.
What have been some difficulties or obstacles that you've had to overcome?
Time. There's time, and, you know, I don't have as much time as I would need. I wake up in the middle of the night every night to do some of the work because it's quiet and I could just get a lot done and prepare for the morning. I usually post a bunch of things at like 7:30 a.m. to get it so people can get it out before their workday, so I can get it out before my workday. Physically, it's a lot. It's definitely a lot. My body has paid the price. I know that the people in my group would say it's hard for them to see the muck and see the darkness. I put my blinders on. Okay, that's bad. Let's write a letter. Great, send it out, on to the next muck, you know? I don't let it get to me at all. Like three times I had to put the group away and say, guys, I'm out. Like one time was when Hirsch and Ori and the six, the beautiful six, we call them, were found
six
murdered.
Six hostages were executed by Hamas in August 2024.
There were six hostages. They were found with each other in a tunnel, dead, killed. I actually am close with Ori's mother. I've developed a relationship with her.
Ori Danino.
Yeah, Ori Danino's mother, Einav. Rachel Goldberg, I've developed a relationship with her, Hirsch's mother. She's another, oh my God, she's amazing. That I put the phone away. I was like, okay, groups, we're taking a rest. I need a day. Then when I actually was in Israel, when the Bibas children, Ariel and Kfir, and their mother, Shiri, were their coffins were returned to Israel. I was actually in Hostage Square at the time. I could not do a thing. I was debilitated. I said, putting this away right now, guys. We'll come back when I could get my stuff together. I actually was very sad because my group is like still wanting to work and they never stop. They never stop. And I said, I'm sorry. I mean, I know I'm your mechanism to get your voice out. I need to take a day. And then the third day was when the hostages came home. I was just like, guys, I'm just watching videos all day. I'll be back. See ya. You know, I was just like cloud nine. This is everything I've prayed and begged and lived for. By the way, we're not stopping because we still have now 15 hostages left. Although two, I think I just heard, are coming home today, please God. So every morning we dedicate to one of those hostages that they should be coming home to a final resting place and to be buried properly and for their families to have some kind of closure. So this is not over. I'm not done yet.
Not only are you not over, you're expanding in a way. So tell me about Students for Jewish Advocacy and what is that?
So Students for Jewish Advocacy, I think I even started it pretty... You know when I started? I'll tell you when. Right after the Washington rally. I saw, as we were walking, I saw so many kids, high school kids, with like Israeli flags wrapped around them, dancing and singing, so much joy and pride. And they came into that rally like ready to go and fight. And I had a friend, and I said to him, he helped me at the beginning. I also saw on Snapchat, my daughter has Snapchat. She showed me the day of the rally, all the cars on Snapchat that were like going to the rally. It was so energizing to see, like, it was like, you know, splitting of the Red Sea, the Dead Sea, Red Sea? Dead Sea, when everybody was like coming together, you know, Yitziat Mitzrayim, or it was unbelievable. So I said to my friend, what are we doing with these kids? We're channeling, they're ready to fight for Israel. They're ready to fight for the Jewish people. They're like, have all this energy, and then we're just going to let them go home on the bus and not do anything. So we spoke about it, and we said, we're going to get together, like, we're going to contact all these schools. So again, I contacted all the Jewish day schools across the country, and I said, I'm going to send you some emails. The kids have email addresses. We need their voice. We need for them to learn how to advocate for themselves. We need for them to really get a lesson and understand what's going on around them in their world without scaring them.
Right.
And I do speak for high schools. I do go to high schools and speak to them often to tell them, like, live your life, have fun, go party, be young, be carefree, but be aware and be involved, because the 20-year-olds on the streets that are calling for your death and your destruction, those are going to be your future legislators, your fellow voters, your lawmakers. Like, you really have a lot. If you want to have a future in this country, you're going to have to mobilize, you guys, you know.
And I love that. Be carefree, be aware, be involved.
Yeah.
So what are you, how are you helping them be aware and involved?
So we choose 3 emails a week that we are already sending out on Pens for Swords, something that might be interesting for the kids, something that we might need a lot of numbers on. They have so many email addresses. We're like a lot of, that's a big, strong voice.
A lot of children.
Yeah. And it's not just the Jewish day schools. It's our public, our Jewish students in public schools. They, and universities, they really need to get on this, because they're the ones feeling the brunt. If I think about it too much, I start crying, because I think of my own kids. What these kids have been going through in these schools and what they've been facing is, it's heart-wrenching. It's terrible. I feel for them. And they're so cool about it. They're so strong and they're so light and joyous still and, you know, full of pride. So we select 3 emails a week to send out for them to just send out. Even if they can't join Pens for Swords, it's a commitment for kids. They have a lot going on and they don't want to be bogged down with this stuff. They're busy, you know, TikToking and studying and doing what they're doing. 3 emails a week. That's it. They just have to click on it, read it hopefully, and send it out. A lot of the schools do lessons about it. So the kids are learning. That's really my goal. It's my passion is really kids learning, kids taking an active role in their future, in this country and in protecting Israel.
So, you know, you're clearly very passionate about it, and it seems like part of the motivation is the hostages. And I've seen you mention somewhere that you'll stop when the last of the hostages is home.
Right.
And of course, we're now at a point where, you know, the living hostages have come back and we are fighting and hoping for the dead hostages to come back and be put into burial. And we are in hopefully what is the end of the war.
Mm-hmm.
What's next for you?
I'm still going to be the face of this group. I'm still going to be sending out the messages, and I've built a personal relationship with people, with everybody in the groups. They got to know me as a person, my soul, my heart. I'm very personal on there. I'm definitely going to continue doing it until the last hostage is home. That's what I committed to on October 8th. I probably will delegate more. I'm hoping that someone else takes on the role of, you know, I want it to become like a real job for somebody. Somebody gets paid for this, because it is a real job. Like, so far, everybody's just been doing it from their heart. I'm not letting this die. It's going to be, we need it. There's so much that has to be done still. Hopefully people won't even notice that I take less of a role. I'm still going to do writing. I'm going to go around speaking. I am going to be doing that. I do want to build the student relationship, the Students for Jewish Advocacy, and always build on Pens for Swords. We've together, all 33,000 of us and my partner groups, we've built a machine that is really important that I can't believe hasn't existed before.
Well, I think that's the beauty of really good machines, that once you see them, you're like, how is this not in existence?
Right.
So may I ask, how are you funding this?
Well, everybody's volunteers, so there's no money. That's it. We actually took money from three people who wanted to pay for our dinner when we went out. That's it. Three people said, oh, I would like to pay for your dinner when you guys meet. You know, that's it. There's no funding. There was something that we did in schools that I'm not at liberty to speak about, but we did fundraise on the groups for that. Mm-hmm. But that was, didn't go to any one person. Nobody's being paid.
So I want to ask you a question that, let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Okay. Because
I think a lot of people who are listening or watching might wonder about this. You mentioned you created a really nice comparison between the type of protests we see on the streets of New York City and all the other cities in the country within our lifetime, which is basically a hate group in New York City.
Yes.
You mentioned them protesting outside of a cancer ward, children's cancer ward. They protested outside of the Nova exhibit. And you said, well, we don't do that. That's the noise and the violence. We send emails. But then you also mentioned that sometimes you get that call, stop sending emails. You're blocking, you're closing our email inbox. And some people might say, well, that's as disruptive. It's just...
It's annoying. We recognize that. That's the point. We need to be noticed. We send one. Some people, if they're an ally of ours, we send one copy with every signature. You know, we don't want to bombard them. We've been very lucky to have an administration that has our backs right now. I am not political. Okay, I'm not Republican, Democrat. I won't even say what I am. But I am very grateful to the current administration for doing everything that they've been doing. They've really had our backs. So we know that we don't have to bombard them. Why would we do that to upset people? Along the way, we're going to upset people and annoy them. That's okay. We're fighting for our lives here. Sorry if your inbox is a little clogged for a few hours, you know?
Is there a letter you won't send?
I really try not to send anything against someone who's Jewish. It's very rare that we'll send a letter against Jewish people or a Jewish organization. Hmm. Very rare.
What would be your dream letter to send?
I guess I don't really have a dream letter, because if I want to send it, it's going out. I always find someone to write it. If not, I write it myself. I have my like we joke, who's your number one anti-Semite? My number one anti-Semite is Miss Rachel, who is a children's programming figure that reaches millions and millions of people. And she has used her platform to basically turn everybody against Israel. She has shown so many lies and so much disinformation, and she has so many people behind her. So my dream letter is any letter to her. Hmm. Any letter to her.
And have you had successes with her?
Yes, she actually, we got her, big whoop, but she finally posted about the Bibas brothers before they were killed and after. I think she had something. She gets very pissed off. Because we'll reach out to her employers, anybody who does any kind of trademark deal with her, we will reach out to everybody, Walmart, you name it, where this person should not be representing your company. And she'll post about our letters after. She'll be like, these people are after me. And I have my voice and I see what I see. And a couple of times she has taken down posts because we say, it's not true. That child you just posted has cystic fibrosis.
But then again, for the devil's advocate's sake, some people would say, this is a person, this is an American who's using their free speech or expressing their views. And you're not only going after them, you're going after their livelihood. You're going after anyone who's willing to work with them or even put their name associated with them. Is that fair?
Yes, it's fair. I believe that nobody who has a platform should be spewing hate against anybody. I don't care if they're Jewish. During BLM, I was up there at rallies. I was fighting for the Black community. I really educated myself on what they were experiencing and what they did experience and what they were going through. And I expect every decent human being should stand up to anybody who's getting this kind of this level of hate and discrimination and lies, outright lies. So you don't get to have your platform to use against to work against a certain group of people. We won't allow it. Is it within free speech? Of course it's within free speech. Doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Hmm. And we're just not going to make it easy for you.
Yeah. Well, I think that's basically, you know, in if you distill your work, is you are making it very difficult for people to be anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, and I guess anti-American.
Yeah. And by the way, this is what the civil rights movement was also. Nobody should feel what we're feeling. We should be afforded the same protections as anybody else. Yeah. Right?
So before we end, and I end with the Here I Am lightning round, I want to ask you one thing. Before you came on, we talked and you said, you know, you can just don't say where I live or even my last name. Can you explain why?
We do take on issues. Like from our group, I'm one of the only people that will be out there, face, name, whatever it is. Our group is really, they don't want their names involved. There's a lot of scary things that we're dealing with, a lot of scary groups. I just want to stay safe. It's a sad reality. You know, we always say that no mosques really need protection. My synagogue has people with guns all around, protection, you know, constantly security. My children's schools, they have armed guards at every single school. Why is that? We're dealing with scary people who have such a hate, such a bloodlust for the Jewish people. It's terrifying. So I try to keep myself safe and my family.
All right. So let's hit the lightning round, series of rapid fire questions. There's no right or wrong answer. Just
okay.
Whatever comes
Hope
to mind.
Hope I can
okay?
do it. Okay.
Faye, what is one thing people don't know about you?
Oh my gosh. I think they know everything because I'm such an extrovert.
Well, we don't know your last name now.
You don't know my last name. You don't know. What don't you know about me? I'm a weird dog lover. It has nothing to do with Israel, the Jewish people. I'm weird. When I pass a dog on the street, like I feel their souls. I have to hug them, kiss them. I have a problem. I definitely have a problem with dogs.
Well, we have a dog in the studio.
I saw it on one of your shows, and I'm like, oh my God, I hope it's there.
What is one thing people don't know about the Jews?
If they don't know this, the Jews, like any of other people, we have good people, we have bad people. But on a whole, we are taught to be kind. We are taught to be accepting. We fight for other people, not just ourselves. And we're just humans. And we deserve the same respect as any other human.
Hmm. What is your favorite curse?
Can I say that on here?
Of course.
Oh, my God. My kids are watching. I love the F-bomb. I love a good F-bomb. I wish I could put it in all our letters because it's just, there's nothing better than that word. It's so effective.
When was the last time you cried?
At the Omer Adam concert. Hmm. I'm going to cry thinking about it. He opens up with videos of the hostages and then President Trump speaking and the crowd erupted so loud. It was just like, wow, like I can't believe they're home. I can't believe it. Like finally they're out of danger, you know?
If you could have one person over for Shabbat dinner from any moment in history, dead or living, who would that be?
Anybody? Oh, God. If I pause to think about it, will you cut out the pause? You'll edit out the pause? Can I have a minute to think about it? It has to be rapid fire?
Well,
I want to say Bibi. I know it's controversial, but I want to get in his head. I want to ask him a lot of questions.
Hmm. Well, what question would you ask?
Oh gosh, like how did you stay so strong through the pressure? How's your commitment so unwavering that you said that you're going to, hostages are your priority, but also the security of Israel. How did you keep going with the world throwing arrows at you? Mm-hmm. I also want to ask him what happened on October 7th. Like, how did that happen?
How did your government, your How did they let it happen?
Yeah. Best army in the world. How did not let it happen? I don't want to judge them because I'm not in the military, but how did it happen? How is there so many hours where children were hiding in closets? Mm. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But also I would thank him. I would thank him because the hostages are home. He secured Israel as best as he could. We're always going to have these little demon pockets in Israel, like huge demon pockets. And especially now that they let more out, but he stays strong. And I know people don't like when I say that. I get a lot of flack if I say it in my groups, but it's what I believe and what I'm seeing. I'm very proud of him. I think what he did was he fought an amazingly strong war with a bazillion fire arrows shot at him from every angle.
Well, someone asked me recently, he said, we're going to have an opportunity to ask Bibi a question. And they asked me, what should I ask? And I knew that person is a supporter, mm-hmm. but also a critic in a way.
Right.
And I said, ask him what is one thing he would have done differently in this war.
That. Yeah.
That's not a criticism, but it's also not an endorsement.
Right. Interesting.
Good leaders can
tell
you.
I'm going to put that down when I meet him.
Good leaders can tell you mm-hmm. when they went wrong as well.
Yeah.
What is your favorite Jewish holiday?
Hanukkah. I'm not a big synagogue goer. To me, it's very hard. I must have some form of ADD, and it definitely was exacerbated now, you know. But sitting in synagogue is very hard for me. Hanukkah is just about light and family and fun and yummy food and gatherings.
So what is your least favorite Jewish holiday?
I don't like Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. Nobody does.
There's a lot of synagogue involved.
Yeah. I'm a mom, so I just had Sukkot in my house, and all my kids came with my grandkids, and it was so much work, but it was so much fun. It's like chaos, but it's so much work, the cooking, the cleaning, the preparation. Passover also, love it, but, you know, for the moms, it's hard. It's difficult. But I just love the family being together every holiday, and I love all the little traditions that we have.
When do you feel safest?
I don't know. I've never thought about that. When do I feel safest? I'm a little bit delusional. I always kind of feel safe. Like, I really do. I don't really get scared that often.
So the next question is, when do you feel least safe?
So obviously, if I'm with a tremendous amount of Muslims, like in Israel, I do get scared in certain neighborhoods. It's not a shocker. They have signs telling me not to go in certain areas, and I do.
We should be clear in the territories where Palestinians,
yes.
where the signs are, right?
No. Jerusalem, when I'm walking around and there's Arabs walking around, Israelis walking around, I'm pretty okay. I do get a little nervous. I do. If like there's more Arabs than Jews around, I'm giving you honest answers.
Yeah.
People may not like it. I'm not politically correct. I do. You get scared when you get scared. I walk around, again, with my big Jewish star anywhere in the world. I've gone all over the world with this. Nobody has ever said anything to me. And I'm little. They could take me in 2 seconds. I really rarely feel unsafe. I know I'm delusional. Mm. I know that.
Well, hopefully, you know, we reach a point where everyone can just walk around with Star of David, hijab, you know, a cross, whatever it is, and just feel safe.
Yeah.
And
I walked around the city this summer with a Zionist T-shirt, big Zionist across my body. People gave me smiles. Nobody gave me a hard time.
That's good.
Yeah. I was bracing myself.
What gives you hope?
The kids, the children, the going to this concert and seeing all the kids after the concert pulling out, like everyone's walking out and floods of people and they're singing Am Yisrael Chai and they're singing Od Yoter Tov. And the kids always, like the fact that through all of this and through so much hardship this past 2 years, they are still dancing and singing and holding their flags up, and they're still light. They're still full of light, and they always inspires me.
Finally, every episode, I urge the listeners to donate to one charity that does good in Israel, Jewish diaspora, the world in large. Where would you want listeners to donate to this week?
I love the One Israel Fund. You know, and again, I know people have a hard time with that because of this, they call settlements or the West Bank. I've always been a big supporter of One Israel Fund. They do tremendous work. I've donated in the past. I've donated to a farm to just get security around her little farm that was, you know, she's being infiltrated all the time. I feel very strongly that Israel is Israel, and they. I don't want to get too political, but I'm all of Israel is ours.
Where can people find Pens for Swords?
So because it's really word of mouth. It's you know, we have to vet people a little bit. It's trusted friends and family are sharing the link. Maybe ask people in your neighborhood if they're on it. There are people in every neighborhood across the country. You can reach out. You can join Students for Jewish Advocacy, written out Students for Jewish Advocacy on Instagram, and we can send you information there. You could get on the links there. That's about it. It's really a grassroots black ops operation underground. So well, I wish we could post a link, but I wouldn't do that.
Let's hope that you keep doing good in the world, and at some point you'll feel comfortable putting your full self out there and not feeling like you're being attacked for who you are and what you do.
Yes.
And I just want to thank you, Faye, for coming here. And here I am with Faye from Pens for Swords.
Thank you. It's like the biggest honor to meet you, really, truly.
Thank you for making the time.
Hi, I'm Michael Greenspan, Shai's father-in-law. I'd like to thank you for listening to the Here I Am podcast with Shai Davidai. Here I Am is recorded at the Cave Production House in Hackensack, New Jersey, and is brought to you in partnership with Abby Sophia and Adamit Productions. You can find us on Instagram, YouTube, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'd also like to extend my deepest gratitude to everyone at Adamit Productions for turning Shai's dream into a reality, and to all our donors and partners for their unwavering commitment to fighting for Jewish civil rights. Most importantly, I'd like to thank you, our listeners. Let's be honest, none of this would have been possible without your support and dedication. Showing up is half the battle. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being there. Thank you for saying, "Here I am."